Good Tuesday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by Morgan Stanley.
And I'm Anna Palmer. Last night, while sitting with evangelical leaders, President Donald Trump finally addressed Senator John McCain's death. He said, "Our hearts and prayers are going to the family of Senator John McCain. We very much appreciate everything that Senator McCain has done for our country." In reality, Trump has already made this story about him. His relative silence and flip-flopping on the flag has kept Washington, and particularly the media, on edge. Any president would have just lowered the flag to half-staff for the week, issued an effusive statement, and moved on.
Trump is making plain what we already knew. He never much liked McCain, and he's not really concerned about what anyone thinks about his behavior. Trump seems fully confident that his supporters haven't cared for McCain in any way since 2008, when they concluded his constituency was mostly reporters and middle-of-the-road Republicans. In some ways, Trump's candidacy and presidency is a direct response to the candidacies of McCain and Mitt Romney.
Here's a thought from John Harris. McCain is deeply admired for his military virtues, but for two generations, politicians who have represented those virtues haven't done well in presidential politics. Let's start with Reagan, who spent World War II in Hollywood, then led the conservative movement at a time when true military experience was still the norm at the top ranks of national politics. For the past quarter century, the presidency has been held by people who either took steps to avoid Vietnam service, think Clinton, Bush, or Trump, or too young to serve, i.e. Obama.
Clinton, Bush, and Obama all beat people who had seen serious combat in World War II or Vietnam. In an age in which most political and media elites have no military experience, there does seem to be a romantic longing for what people imagine the military and its values represent. Physical toughness, valor, moral clarity, as against a general climate of softness, selfishness, and blurred lines of right and wrong. The reaction to McCain's passing represents that longing. But in real life, when people who claim that their biographies represent such virtues actually faced the electorate, the response has been harsh.
Opponents made them look obsolete and out of touch, as Clinton did to Bush 41 and Bob Dole, and Obama did to McCain, who portrayed them as self-righteous phonies, as partisans of Bush 43 did to John Kerry in 2004, and to some extent to McCain in the 2000 primaries. The idealized portrait of McCain, an unyieldingly honest man who placed principle over self, is surely appealing, and at his best, the Arizona senator's life really did approximate that ideal. But the reason McCain's passing has resonated so deeply is that everyone recognizes that Trump, a supremely transactional figure for whom truth and everything else is infinitely flexible and subordinate always to self-interest, is the more authentic representation of the age.
On TV this morning, Lindsey Graham will be on the Today Show in the 7 a.m. hour. Our colleague Alana Shore reports that Republican senators are not happy with how Trump handled the White House flag raising while Capitol flags remained at half-staff. Our colleagues Chris Catalago, Daniel Strauss, and Theo Meyer report that Arizona Governor Doug Ducey is aiming to please Trump with who he appoints to replace McCain.
And there was big news out of North Carolina yesterday with major implications for the 2018 election. The Washington Post reports that a panel of judges held Monday that the state's gerrymandered map is considered unconstitutional and may have to be redrawn before the midterms. The North Carolina congressional delegation is right now 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. And there are some Republican power players who could see their seats at risk. And we've got a flip alert. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Paul Manafort sat a deal with prosecutors in his next trial, but they didn't reach a deal.
Our trade team has all the details of the new NAFTA as Trump embraces Mexico and threatens Canada in the latest round of negotiations. Megan Casella and Sabrina Rodriguez break down what it means. They wrote, quote, "The announcement of the breakthrough between the U.S. and Mexico is certainly something for the administration to celebrate. Both sides worked extremely hard over the past year, and especially over the last month, to get this far, and it gives Trump a major policy win to tout on the campaign trail this fall. It's also a get-out-of-jail-free card for Republicans who are trying in many ways to stay aligned with the president heading into the midterms, but found themselves increasingly disillusioned with his trade policy. We also shouldn't mistake Monday's announcement for what it's not, a concrete deal."
Here's what's on tap for Trump's Tuesday. The president is having lunch with Defense Secretary James Mattis. He will also meet this afternoon with the FIFA president. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.